We thank God by this time, and let us bow our heads and pray, and then we hand over to you, Brother Ken, after the prayer. Shall we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you once again this day of Saturday, as you have brought us together with all saints throughout the world to learn from the Lord his word. We humbly come before you, Father Lord, just as hungry men who scramble for the bread on the table of the Master. Lord, this afternoon, even this morning elsewhere, as our brothers elsewhere get their morning, we pray that may the Spirit of the living God guide us, lead us, and even guide the mind and thoughts of Brother Ken, as the man you have separated to teach those who are listening right now, in Jesus' name. We thank you, Father Lord, for the Spirit of God, which is upon him, and that he will speak forth the things that come from the mind of God, the things that come from the heart of God, and that will cause us to listen and to understand. He will cause our eyes to see Christ in the scriptures. He will cause us, Father Lord, to understand, and even cause us to believe what will be said and preached to us this afternoon. We pray for the blessings, Father Lord, of the day. May this day, Father Lord, bless us through the preaching of the word. And to Jesus Christ, the Son of living God, we pray and ask all this. Amen. Father Ken, you are welcome. May God bless you as you preach today. You have a nice weather, a nice network, and your voice is very clear. Unlike the past 2 weeks, it was horrible. But we thank God you were able to do what he purposed us to do. So today it's very clear. May God bless you as we visit God, that we can hear the word in this manner. God bless you.
Amen. Well, I'm thankful that we've got a clear signal, and certainly pray the Lord will bless our time together. Let's take our Bibles. Amen. And look again in Acts chapter 5, and I would like you to read from verse 12 down to verse 14, and I want to speak today on how Christ builds his church.
Vesi yake ya 4 kulekeza 12 kulekeza 15 makamanga tikhala tikulinga na zamene Kristu adamangira mpingo wake Hanania ndi Safira vesi yake 12.
So you read that for us. In fact, if you want, start reading in verse 11. Start reading with verse 11 and read down to verse 14.
Ndi mtimo umodzi ndikufundira Solomon. Kuma kada alibe mmozi wa utsalao, analimba mtima katika nana yako. Kuma atu antu, anawakuzita. Nipo maga anaonjezewa kwa ambuye, okru bilira ambili, do amuna ni agazi.
You finished?
It's okay.
Okay. You see, verse 11 begins, and great fear came upon all the church. This has to do with God's church in this world. That word church literally means the called out ones. It's the word that we get our word ecclesiastic from. It's ecclesiasia. Ecclesia is the way it's pronounced in the original, but it means the called out ones. So it's not a word used to describe men's organizations, but rather that body of believers on Christ that God himself has chosen, that Christ has redeemed, and the Spirit called out. That's where it comes from, the called out ones, the ones that the Spirit of God has called unto Christ. Now, when it says great fear came upon all the church, this is a result of the work of the Spirit. Yes, they had seen what the Lord had done in judging Ananias and Sapphira. And I'm sure many people observe that, but the effect that it had upon the church is what is described here. This is the Spirit doing his work. And the word fear here is more than just to be scared. It is a word that has to do with a deep impression that the Lord made on these that causes one to bow and to reverence the Lord. So again, this is the way that the scriptures make a difference between those that are in the world who are just religious by nature. They're going through certain formalities, they attend their assemblies, and yet they're unconverted. They don't have the Spirit of God in them versus these who were the Lord's, because it says so. It says great fear came upon all the church. This has to do with the body of redeemed ones that were affected by the Lord's doings. You see, this is what distinguishes those who are the Lord's from mere religious people. On a Sunday, you see people dress up, and when you ask them where they're going or where they've been, they're saying, well, I'm going to church, or they'll say, I'm coming from church. For them, church means a building, it means a place, it means an assembly. But for those who are the Lord's, we don't say we're going to church, we say we have met with the church. You see, the church meets around the word and for the purpose of worship. There's a difference. And there's a difference too in how we're affected. You see, when people are just part of a religious organization, they need to be entertained. They need to have some kind of encouragement from their fellows. So they go for that purpose. But when matters such as what we're reading here in God's dealings in the world, and particularly in such a mighty way as he did with Ananias and Sapphira, so many in religion, they'll look at that and they'll say, well, God judged them. They got what they deserved. Not realizing that the only reason that God has not dealt with them that way is his mercy. You see, people in religion, they feel like if they're still alive, that somehow they must be living right. You see, it's all about them. And that's the difference. When you ask them, well, what did you do when you were meeting together? They'll say, well, we had a great song service. Or they'll say, the preacher today really preached a powerful message. And when you ask him what it was about, well, it's about how we need to do this or we need to do that. And he was trying to motivate us. You see, that's religion, but that's not the church. But what a difference here in Acts 5:11 when it says, and great fear came upon all the church, great reverence, great dread, if you will, regarding God and his right to act as he does. It affects us. We take it into our being. We consider these things. Why? Because of the Spirit of the Lord within us. See, the people of the world are a lot like chickens in a courtyard when someone comes and chases down a chicken and grabs one. There's a lot of noise and activity. The chicken's clucking and carrying on, and then the one you grab to take out of there is squawking, and you're taking it off to kill it, to eat it, and for a while all the chickens are disturbed, but then as time goes on, what do? They go back to doing what they normally do, just pecking away, looking for food, scratching. That's their life. That's a good description of religion. But those are the Lord's. They're greatly affected by his dealings with men and his judgments, but also in salvation. They're affected by his word. All of that is summed up in this word, great fear came upon all the church. And notice it says, and or even upon as many as heard these things. It's not just physically hearing, like those chickens clucking until things settle down, but a spiritual, God giving them a hearing because they're the church. They're the ones that he has chosen out and redeemed and called. Anda, kurang mana di krisis. Kami ini ambil di pinggul di sangkau. Now imagine that this took place in one of our assemblies where the Lord took out, he exposed the hypocrisy of two prominent members and killed them. For many, they would think, wow, we need to get out of here. They would, for them, it would be a setback. But here we realize and see as we read on, no, it's the Lord's way of purging the congregation and showing his mighty hand in continuing to build his church, not men's organizations, but his church. It's the Lord separating out his own.
And also Sankiwa, Pagati Fan for Sankiwa, who was Sankiwa, Zuya Trepoka, and then the Chicago Spirit Minister Shiga, was a Sankiwa at Trepoka, I will not get into Sankiwa, as a Kalina of the Repo Costa, Dimbuzuranga.
And I've seen this over the last 30 plus years that the Lord has enabled me to preach this gospel, is that He does His work, and we dare not get attached to anybody, that our eyes need to be on the Lord alone. See, all of that is summed up in that word, great fear came upon all the church. Those who were the Lord's were being caused to look to the Lord alone during this time and not to men or reactions, you see. And the Lord does this lest we should put our confidence in the flesh, in others, or even in our own. We need to be reminded that except for the grace of God, we could be Ananias and Sapphira. So what some considered maybe to be a setback, what we're reading here is actually the Lord's way of purging his church, the congregation, and from there continuing to draw in those that are his. As you see in verse 12, it was a time that the Lord blessed for the apostles to go forth, and it says, by many signs and wonders wrought among the people, it was the Lord manifesting his power in delivering sinners from the effects of their sin and doing it in a mighty way. And rather than weakening the church, it was for the strengthening of the church. When it says there in verse 12 at the end, they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. Think about where that was. That was at that temple, where the religious people continued to offer their sacrifices, which should have ceased, because Christ had already died. Christ had paid the debt. And yet these, in their rebellion, continued on in the old way, refusing to acknowledge Christ as the Savior and the Redeemer, the Lord. And yet it was right there, in the middle of all of that religious activity, that the Lord was doing his work. Now, when it says there that they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch, it doesn't mean that the people that were there for religious purposes at the temple were in agreement with the apostles. No, but it says all that pertained to the apostles themselves were of one accord. It means they were of one passion, one desire, one glory, which was the exaltation of Christ. In other words, they were not using that power which the Lord gave them to perform these wonders and signs. They didn't do this to draw attention to themselves. But as we saw already, these miracles through the hands of the apostles was to affirm the message that they preached. And the message is Christ and him crucified. The scriptures had not yet been completed. So this was God's way of confirming before the people that what they preached was true. That's the only reason they did this. So we see here a second way in which the Lord separates out his people, his church. First, in bringing great fear upon them. In other words, working mightily within them. But here, number two, we see that oneness of mind and heart that he gives those that are his. It says they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. He's talking about they're the apostles and their agreement in the message that they were preaching. There wasn't division among them as preachers. There wasn't argument. There wasn't jealousy. But even here, you can see in verse 13 that the Lord is separating out his own, because today people say, well, we need miracles to try to get as many on the Lord's side as possible. We need to get as many believing as possible. So they look after miracles. They're not interested in the word. They're not interested in Christ. They're interested in numbers, you see. But That's not why these apostles performed these signs and wonders. In fact, verse 13 says the Lord used their message. That's what they were in one accord on, the message of Christ, to separate out. Because it says the rest, that is, those who were not part of the church, those that were opposed to the gospel, they dared not join themselves to them. You see, the Lord brought a separation, and we're going to find the same thing today.